Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Will you still murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say we are delivered to do all these abominations? Title of my message is CCM, Baal in the Church. Dear God, please be with us. May we walk with You and draw nigh to You. May we open our hearts, our ears today. Will You bless the preaching of Thy Holy Word as we expose and attempt to wake up Thy people. Use us to Thy glory, this church, the preaching, and all who hear. Forgive us of all sins, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I want you to notice that the people were worshiping Baal, burning incense unto Baal. Their music, their worship was pagan, abominable. The practices that they did in this so-called worship was abominable. But yet they had not left their Christian profession, or in that day and age, their belief in the God of Israel. So what you see is what we call syncretism. The mixture of paganism with Christianity. And here we are now in the last days. And my purpose of bringing this sermon to you today is not only so those that are caught up in this mess can repent, but I want you to recognize where we're at today. And maybe, just maybe, this will stir you to take a look at what bus you're on. Where are you headed? Those little practices that you do every single day. The people that you're strengthening and encouraging. Maybe this will help you say, you know what, I'm done. No more hanging halfway out the window. Like the boy in Acts who fell out. No more halfway in. No more Laodicea. Half hot, half cold, lukewarm. I'm done with it. I'm going to be 100% for God. That's what I pray today. Look at Jeremiah 19. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. Because the worship of Baal involved fornication, people got pregnant. A lot of times they didn't want these babies, and even if they did, they offered these children in sacrifice unto Baal. I tell you what, that means Baal is Satan. Satan wants you to do your own thing. Be concerned only about yourself. And when any time you give yourself to Satan, you're going to hurt somebody. You're not going to bless people. You're going to hurt people. Even if you call it love. Even if you say it's in the best interest of these children, I don't want them born. Whatever your excuse is, you're hurting people. And you have no right to sacrifice these children. What in the world is going on in the churches today? You've got Christians at those abortion clinics not standing outside protesting. You've got Christians delivering their babies over to be burned by salt solution, chemical, chopped up. And then they come on Sunday morning and sing songs unto God after getting an abortion. God can save people. God forgives people. And God can use those that have made horrible, horrible mistakes and sins. But there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a confession, restitution, vengeance taking on our sin. Notice 1 Kings 18, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal. There you go. Israel's full of the prophets of Baal. And I believe today the churches in America are full of the prophets of Baal. Now they might look at us and say, you're a false prophet. And when Elijah stood up, I'm sure those prophets of Baal all agreed that he was the troublemaker. He was the false prophet. They're the compromisers. And Elijah said unto them, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. So one preacher is going to stand against hundreds of these wicked prophets. And notice, they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Remember that man who had devils was naked. He wore no clothes and he cut himself with stones, remember. I tell you what, abusing your body, when the devil gets a hold of you, to the degree that the devil has a hold of you, he's going to cause you to abuse your body, to hurt yourself, to not care about your health, to cut yourself, tattoo yourself, treat it like trash. I'm not going to get into the particulars of what they were doing here. But I believe you would be shocked if you actually realized what they were doing here. Judges 2, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Here you got Baal, but now this goddess comes into the picture. Now, one of the main texts I want to bring before you today is in 2 Kings 17. Listen to this now. They served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments. So notice, God comes after you. What a blessing that the Lord comes after you, isn't it? He's going to raise up people to rebuke you. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks. You little ones that have your ponies, when you see that pony get stubborn, it hardens its neck. It becomes stiff-necked and froward. It wants to go one way. You want it to go another way. God wants you to go one way. You want to go your way. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves. Now remember that. And made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. Now don't miss verse 33. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Now Israel did this after the manner of the nations that God destroyed in the land of Canaan. But these are nations that ended up being among the Israelites. And those nations, when they came among the Israelites, they feared the Lord, but served their own gods. So Israel did this, and the nations that were among them. America is full of Christians, and full of non-Christians that brought their paganism from Europe or wherever they brought it from. And I'm telling you this, what we have in America today, you have a lot of believers that are fearing God, but serving false gods. You have a form of godliness. When it says they feared the Lord, it doesn't mean that ultimately they feared the Lord. Remember, Jonah in a backslidden state says, I fear God. I fear the one who made everything. But he was backslidden. So there are degrees of fear. What it does mean is they acknowledged God, but they were walking in pagan practices. You remember if you were here last week, a black snake came slithering. I thought it was going to come up here and repent. Here it comes. It's slithering. And I'm not talking about the fella a few years ago. I mean a literal snake came in the church. We've seen some snakes. In the same way as that serpent came slithering in here to give me a sermon illustration, Satan has been slithering, creeping into the churches in these last days like you would not believe. Baal, the devil behind Baal, is in the churches. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you today. And I don't want you to become self-righteous in some way. Where you just look at that and say shame. But we don't mourn and do what we can do to stand against it and reprove it. And I also want us to realize that there's a lot of people out there. There are metalheads. There are people living like the devil right now that God may one day use in a more powerful way than us, if they repent. And God can do it. I mean, remember Mary Magdalene, many devils were cast out of her, and she was there at the cross of the Lord when the disciples had run and fled. Think of what God can do with some of these people out here if they will repent. But never forget, they have to repent. I have spared you today any pictures of Baal for a number of reasons. I believe as a teaching reference, in some ways it wouldn't be wrong to show you the statues and the images and such things, but I just mainly because they're so perverted and wicked, I don't want to miss something and bring that junk into the church. But let me just tell you, in the pictures of Baal, he has long hair. Down to here. He's in a skirt. Shirtless. You say, well, that's how people dressed back then. I'm going to tell you, folks, whatever you want to say about it, remember when they talk about the people from Scotland, I rebuked that whole thing and exposed this idea that, you know, they just wore these kilts. And stuff. I totally rebuked that. That is a modern fable. I'm not going to go into it right now, but this idea of, well, those Scottish people wore skirts. No, you don't need to wear women's clothes. Do you understand that? When you look at these images, and you look at a Christian concert today, there is a great similarity in how Baal looks and how these people look on the stage. In Baal worship, they assembled together in great congregations to watch sin and lewdness. And you say, shame, that's terrible. You know how many Christians today will leave their church and can't wait to get to an afternoon or Sunday evening movie where they're going to gather into the local theater and watch some type of trash full of fornication and lewdness on a giant screen? What in the world is that? How is that different in its very essence than Baal worship in ancient times? Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, laughs and says, you Christians have Baal, you Christians have satanic worship right there on your TV. You bring it into your living room. And he laughed and laughed and laughed. How many church services are in some ways assemblies of Baal? I've gone through, listen to me now, I've gone through, I won't repeat it now, but we are going to go over some material that's similar. I've gone through the Nicolaitans, which the Lord hates. I've gone through the early Gnostics. I've gone through the apocryphal so-called Gospels. And I've shown how they all are androgynous cults. They are occult Christians, so-called, professing believers that are mixing the Greek paganism with Christianity. And the Greek paganism is filled with androgyny and bisexuality. Now, when I say CCM, Baal in the Church, CCM stands for Christian Contemporary Music. Contemporary simply means new. So I want to qualify this. God wants you to bring a new song. It's not wrong to have a modern song. But when we talk about contemporary music, we mean that you have departed from some basic standards of music. Much of CCM to be heard today on the airwaves, just like the preaching, is very controlled. There are gatekeepers. It's led by compromisers. The love of money is the root of all evil. There is much, much sin involved. And not only the way they sing, but in the behavior and spirit that they are of. Not just the proud look, not just the disorder in the music, but the disorder in their lives. Let's look at a little bit of history in regard to Baal. And then we'll take a look at this modern age and see whether Baal has come among us. In Baal's new pantheon of 1790, Baal or Belus is an idol of the Chaldeans and Phoenicians or Canaanites. Josephus says, to this Mars the Assyrians erected the first statue and worshipped him as a god, calling him Baal. Arnobius tells us that Baal was of an uncertain sex, and that his worshippers, when they called upon him, invoked him thus, hear us, whether thou art a god or a goddess. His worship consisted in the most obscene practices. See, Mammonides. Wait a second now. Baal was of an uncertain... Baal was transgender. Baal was confused. Baal was androgynous. Who would have ever guessed? So when you worship an androgynous god, does it not make sense that the whole stadium is going to be filled with androgynous people? And the priests of Baal are going to be androgynous. The men will wear women's clothes, and the women will wear men's clothes. What do you have in the Catholic Church other than a bunch of women out here dressed like men and the very priest himself up here in a dress? Where do you think that came from? Diana, the great goddess, so-called, of the Bible, where they say in Acts, the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. You say, well, we're not worshiping Diana now. How many Christians will go to Wonder Woman after the sermon today? Not in this church, but all over America. I heard there's quite a few preachers that actually preached about Wonder Woman in a positive light. You tell me Diana's not among us? You tell me we showed and documented that Wonder Woman was an Amazonian lesbian. Isn't it interesting that when you go back in history, you find out that Diana was transgender? The great goddess they're talking about here was a transgender. Mention is made of the goddess Baaltis, otherwise called Diana. Uh-oh. Diana was really Baal. Are you looking at a female or are you looking at a male? Remember, the followers of Baal didn't even know. Baal Beerth is the same as the goddess Cybele. Her statue is seen with a drum in her hands. Okay, so when you look at Diana, Cybele, all of these transgender, you don't know what they are, androgynous goddesses, here they are with a drum in their hand. What are they doing? They're beating the drum. What is in this CCM music? It's a drum played upside down in lewdness. So you will move in a sensual way, end up in fornication, end up pregnant, and then kill your baby. The history of the propagation of Christianity in 1731 says the priests of the Syrian goddess were emasculated and wore women's clothes in her solemn feast. Men seized with fury at the sound of the drum ran naked over the town, finally dressing in women's clothes. This is sick and disgusting, but you just need to know. You need to know when they worship this pervert, androgynous goddess, part of the worship was the men cut themselves. In other words, they had an operation. They had a transgender operation that they performed on themselves. And then after declaring themselves transgender to the crowd, everybody screams and worships as the drums play. You have a coming out party. Basically, they come out as transgender. And they perform the operation. And then they run around naked and finally have to dress in woman's clothes because their change is supposedly complete. What is that? Other than a rock and roll party at some Christian stadium, so-called, where somebody stands up and declares, I am transgender, I'm coming out. Everybody screams and hollers and gives him love, and then he dresses in women's clothes after his operation. Baal was the god of Jezebel. Baphomet. He was known as androgynous, but also the bull god. Sometimes these goddesses, these Baalite goddesses, had horns coming out of their head. Baal sometimes had a helmet with horns, bull horns. So what do you see at these so-called Christian rock concerts? You see a bunch of cross-dressed people. You see people coming out, getting operations, declaring themselves the opposite sex, dressing in women's clothes or men's clothes. And then you see them hold up their fingers in the sign of the horned bull or horned goat. You see Amy Grant doing it. You see all of these Christian performers, many of them holding up the devil sign, the bull sign, the Baphomet sign, which means do whatever you want. Follow the god of lust. Do your own thing. Here's TourEgypt.net, if you wanted to take a trip there. They say Baal was usually shown with long hair. He would wear a conical helmet with two horns and a short kilt. Baal's cult animal was the bull. Yes, indeed. Sounds like a rock and roll concert to me. Mexican illustrations in 1828. Listen to this. Diaz states that the priests in Mexico wore long black vestments with long hair and their ears lacerated in honor of their gods. When you go down to the store and here comes somebody getting out of the car and he's got his car shaking with the drum beat of it all, and he gets out and his ears have been lacerated, he's wearing black and he has long hair, he is a priest of Baal. He doesn't even know it. See? He is a follower of Baal. This has been going on for centuries. It's nothing new. No new thing under the sun. Robertson says that the priests never approached their altars without sprinkling them with their own blood, which exactly corresponds with the practice of the priests of Baal. The human sacrifice, so much resembling those of Mexico and like them, accompanied with death drums and horns. So whether you're in the Aztecs, the Mexicans, whatever it is, over here in Mexico, South America, you could go all the way back to the Baal worship, same thing. People dress the same way, offering their children, holding up signs to the horn god, but also dressing as women with long hair and women's clothes. See, when the Tower of Babel was rebuked by God and He scattered the nations all over the world, they took that same worship with them all over the world. That same worship. That same transvestite, bisexual, androgynous worship of Nimrod or Ham, the horned god. Wow. History of the Jews, 1891. Listen to me. In honor of Astarte, half-frantic youths and men mutilated themselves and wore female attire. Well, there you go. What do you do when you worship Baal? You put on the clothes of the opposite sex. Baal demands it. I know this is long. Let me give you some history, though. Journal of Religious Psychology has some good history. We don't agree with their final conclusions. But in 1910, Journal of Religious Psychology says effeminate sorcerers or priests of this sort are found among the Sidiaks of Borneo, the Bugis of South Celebs, the Patagonians of South America. In Madagascar, we hear of effeminate men who wore female attire and acted as women, thinking thereby to do God service. Among early peoples, the gods are represented, both in their forms and in their manners and customs, as hermaphrodite. Brahm, in the Hindu mythology, is often represented as two-sexed. Brahm, like Baal in the Syrian gods, was conceived of as double-sexed. Baal and other Babylonian gods were often represented as androgyn. Mithras, among the Persians, is spoken of as two-sexed. Even Venus, or Aphrodite, was sometimes worshipped in the double form. In Cyprus, says Dr. Frazier, there was a bearded and masculine image of Venus, probably Astarte, in female attire. Sacrifices were offered to him or her by men clad as women, and by many women clad as men. Listen to me, pay attention, kids. This bearded female deity is sometimes also spoken of as Aphrodite or as Venus Mylitta. In Egypt, also, representation of a bearded Isis has been found, with infant Horus in her lap. There are a number of representations from papyri of the goddess Nia in androgyn form. The Norse Freya, or Frigga, corresponding to Venus, was similarly figured. Frigga, to whom the sixth day of the week, Friday, was dedicated, was sometimes thought of as hermaphrodite. So wherever you're at on the earth, you have the same perversion. In the Orphic hymns, we have Zeus was man, and again, Zeus was the virgin eternal. Dionysus, who they would cut open animals and get in a frenzy and pour the blood all over them, and the most wicked, he was the god of wine and lust. Basically, he's just Baal. Dionysus, one of the most remarkable figures in Greek mythology, is frequently represented as androgyn. Of course he is, or it is. Aristides, in his discourse on Dionysus, says, thus the god is both male and female. In some of his rites and processions, men wore female attire. Similar things are reported of Bacchus, who was, of course, another form of Dionysus. Even Hercules was said to have dressed as a woman for 3 years. At the Vernal Mysteries of Hercules in Rome, the men were draped in garments of women. Such instances could be rather indefinitely multiplied. Apollo is generally represented with a feminine figure. The Indian Siva, with his right side masculine and his left side feminine. And the same may be said of the bearded Egyptian Isis or the bearded Syrian Aphrodite. Folks, do you realize what happened in the 60s when the Beatles showed up in America with long hair and you had bands come out in the mid-60s wearing women's clothes, men putting on earrings and wearing women's clothes with long hair, the music they turned upside down, the masculine part of the music they buried, the feminine part they perverted and made the head. You had drums everywhere, you had LSD, and they worshiped Krishna, the female bisexual androgynous pervert god. Now God said in Leviticus 18, defile ye not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And what do you think is going to happen to America? The nations that forget God shall be what? What? Amen, brother. Turned into hell. You're going to hell. America's going to hell. If God destroyed the Canaanites, what's He going to do to America that has the Bible and has this history and foundation and light? You're out of your mind if you think you're going to continue to do what we're doing in America and not be judged. You literally are insane. You know nothing about history. Deuteronomy 22, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." I don't care how nice you think the Christian is. They're deceived or they're in rebellion. And this has not been long in America. I didn't see any of my grandparents wearing clothes from the opposite. I never saw any of my granddad in a dress. And I never saw my grandmoms in pants. Never. This is a recent phenomena. We have gone back to Baal in America to varying degrees. And what people said is, "Oh, well, we're not really going to become homosexuals. We're just wearing the opposite sex's clothes." Just a few more decades and it's all over the place. You got the early 1970s, they were shocked as the front page of the papers said, headlines all over the world, women wear pants to work for the first time, and they began to interview the bosses. That's 1973, 1974, New York Times. Some women were wearing pants before, but never to work. See? Now the headline reads, "Men show up to work in dresses. What are the employers going to do?" And they're going to do the same thing the employers did in the 1970s. Some said they disagree with it. Some said that they don't really care as long as they do a good job. In other words, it just brings confusion and a division. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." If he says adulterer, he obviously means adulteress also. Nor effeminate. If he means men that wear women's clothes, he obviously means women who wear men's clothes. You said, "You think God's really going to put me out of the kingdom for wearing pants? I wouldn't mess with it. You think I would mess with it? I'm not going to mess with it. Why do you play around with it? Why don't we just take God at what He says?" He says, "Well, maybe He's just talking about homosexuals." Well, why does He say in the next section, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind"? And why was the NIV in such a hurry to get rid of the word effeminate here? With lesbians on the very translating committee. What's going on today, people? Wake up! Welcome to the final days. You can choose to be asleep, like God predicted many would be, or you can wake up right now and stir yourselves and say, "You know what, I'm getting ready for the coming of the Lord. No more playing around. I am not playing around. Me and my family, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not playing around with this stuff. We're getting out of the middle. We're going to choose sides right now," because that's what's happening. Churches are having to choose sides. Whole denominations are having to choose sides. Whole denominations, Christians are leaving and are saying, "No more. Bye-bye. You want to go ordain lesbians and bring homosexuals into the churches? Bye. We leave." And so you're having a remnant wake up, but you're having the whole rest of the bus going to the worship of Baal. The worship of Baal. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Paul says there'll be many that'll worship another spirit that's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Holy Spirit. They'll worship another Jesus. They dress up Jesus like Baal. When you see pictures of Jesus, skinny and long hair and all, that's not Jesus, that's Baal. Sabine Bearing Gold, Curious Myth of the Middle Ages of 1889, says the priests of Moloch wore female attire. The priestesses of Mylitta were dressed like men. Okay, in this paganism, the men and women switch clothes. Moloch's in the Bible. They worship Moloch, says Jeremiah, says Ezekiel. The Atlantic Monthly of 1879 says Baltis, the Phoenician bearded moon goddess, has reappeared in Spain as Santa Paula and other bearded virgin. And the priests of the bearded Venus were disguised in female attire, an example followed by the robing of the Christian clergy. Now, when they say that, obviously they mean Catholic clergy. But there's a lot of Christians that get up and wear dresses. Why does the Catholic clergy wear dresses and forbid marriage? Why have so many Catholic priests, an epidemic, been busted for pedophilia? Recent news reports talk about the horrible things that I'm not even going to repeat from the pulpit that are being found in Italy right now among the high-ranking Catholics. These Catholics are mixing paganism with Christianity. This is why at the heart of Catholicism is paganism, which is simply androgyny. They're sodomites. All the women in the early days of paganism had to sell their bodies even before they got married. They had to do time in the temple. There were some places where they said, can we at least have her cut her hair off so she doesn't have to go through this? But to many, in that culture, whether you're in Western Asia or whether you're in Babylon, it was understood that every single woman must prostitute herself. The only exception is if you cut your hair off for the goddess, the androgyny goddess. You think, that's just terrible. That's just horrible. Hey, you listen to me. In America, it is a rite of passage, a rite of pagan passage for every young girl to go off to college when she gets out of high school, and if she hasn't already sold herself, she does it there. 9 times out of 10. She either cuts her hair and becomes a man, or she sells her body, so to speak. She parties and has her little rebellious. You say, well, that's not a Baalite church, really? Colleges are not temples of Baal, really? Charles Potter in 1930, who basically worshipped the false god of humanism? He had the first humanist church in America, and he brought a big ape statue into the church? Associated with the NEA, the National Association of Education? And he said, the modern school, you stupid Christians, is a temple of humanism. It's a humanist church, you idiots. And he laughed and laughed and laughed. Christians around America sending their kids to temples of humanism where they can learn debauchery, lewdness, dedicate their bodies to Baal before they settle down and get married or become a little feminist and with their career or whatever they're doing. Fraser, in his 1907 book, says effeminate sorcerers or priests of this sort are found among many Indian tribes of North America. Just so you understand, North America is not left out. Male members of the Valhalla sect in India often seek to win the favor of the god Krishna by wearing their hair long. Of course they do. That's 1907, long before the Beatles, long before the Beatles sang that song where you're taking the Lord's name, praise be to Jah, hallelujah. And then right at the end of the song, he changes it from chanting hallelujah to basically saying the name Hare Krishna over and over and over and over. And all these Americans going around singing it. What is that syncretism? It's bringing it together. They feared the Lord, but they worshipped the gods of the nations. Krishna. They had their hair long. Androgynous. All right, now take a look. Baal worship revived. Now that you know some degree what ancient Baal worship was, what it consists of, now let's look and see what's happening in the world today. Here's 2015, Time Magazine. Hundreds gather for the unveiling of satanic statue in Detroit. Christian Examiner of 2016, Baal's temple ark erected in London for Earth Day. Charisma Magazine, it's not just Times Square, altars to Baal will be built around the world! 2016, Israeli News. Despite early denials, the ark from the Temple of Baal to stand in New York City. Minneapolis Star Tribune, 2017. Satanic Monument in Belle Plaine prompts weekend rallies. Revelation 13, a prophecy about the last days, they worship the dragon. And the Bible says the dragon is Satan. 2 Kings 17, they fear the Lord and serve their own God. They're going to worship Satan, but they're going to use the name of the Lord. They're going to combine it together. Here's an article from just a couple of days ago from The Guardian. God and Metal. Scenes from a hardcore Christian music festival. At the beginning of July, I photographed Audio Feed, a Christian rock and metal festival in Illinois. One of the year's headliners, this year's headliners, was David Bazin. He is a vocal ex-evangelical. You know what an ex-evangelical is? In the early days, you were a modernist or a fundamentalist. A modernist says, hey, we believe in evolution. We don't believe the Bible's true. We believe most of the Bible's just a myth. Jesus didn't shed His blood for mankind. That's a horrible thought. So that was a modernist. The fundamentalist says, I believe the Bible. I believe the truth. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe in the blood atonement. I believe in the virgin birth. I don't believe in evolution. Then all of a sudden, these modernists had infected the colleges and seminaries and churches. And the fundamentalist says, okay, you're in for it now. You're going to get out of our church. You're going to get out of our seminaries. And they called them the fighting fundamentalists. They said, no more. The Bible says, contend for the faith, and we're going to do it. We're going to expose. We're going to rebuke. Well, then the next generation says, we don't want to be fighting anymore. We want to be evangelical. We still believe in the blood of Jesus, but, you know, if the fundamentalist says, don't look at the wine and you won't get drunk, the evangelical said, well, we can drink as long as we don't get drunk. We can go watch the wicked movies. We can do all the worldly things if we don't go too far. They were evangelicals. Well, now what do you have? Now you've got these Christian rock concerts with headliners saying, I'm not even an evangelical. I don't even believe in God. It's like when I made the news in Texas, you had Methodists, that Methodist woman, right against me. She goes, he's not a preacher of love. He doesn't understand love. He doesn't understand the God of love. And then she goes down halfway through the article and says, I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in God. But he's not a... I mean, what in the world? You got preachers that don't believe in God. You've got these worship leaders. They don't even believe in God. Because everybody says, just compromise and maybe you can reach them. Just compromise and maybe they'll come. How many times are you going to try the same stupid thing that doesn't work, folks? Would that man in Corinth have repented with all the love the Corinthians were giving him? No! He didn't repent till he was excluded! Christians can do it in love, true love. They can say, I'm sorry, you're not welcome here. Homosexual, sodomite, if you want to repent and get right and want to learn not to be a homosexual, that's one thing. We'll help you, pray with you, do everything we can. But if you want to keep your wicked sin, you are not welcome in this church. If you want to keep your wicked sin, you're not welcome in this church. And if people got a problem with that, boy, they got a big problem. A veteran of the festival recalled the days when he couldn't wear his Slayer t-shirt in church. He said, oh, this is great. I remember back years ago, I couldn't even go to church in my Slayer t-shirt. I became a Christian in part because of this wicked band called Slayer. I was at this house with a whole bunch of these people doing wicked things, and they put on this video, and I'm sitting over here in a corner thinking, what am I involved in, God? What have I become in my life, you know? And all of a sudden, here comes this video, and they show all of these people at this concert, and then you've got Slayer, Metallica, these wicked bands, and they stand up and they say, we all await the coming of the Antichrist! And all of these kids just screamed and held up the devil's side. And I looked at it and I looked around at everybody around me. I said, I'm getting off the bus. No more, I'm done. I am off the bus. It's getting too blatant. It's like they're coming out and boldly saying what they are. Slayer was devil worshippers, or they pretended to be for money. But what is that other than devil worship, you know? Satan doesn't care if you believe in him, as long as you sell out. But now they're saying, this is great. You could walk around with a Slayer t-shirt and you're accepted. Wow, isn't that great? So a boy can come in with pentagrams all over, who knows better or should know better, and you're going to receive him in church. No, we're going to say, go home and put a different shirt on. If it's the first time you ever come, we'll witness to you, love you, that type of thing. But you're not going to continue coming here week after week after week, dressing however you want to dress. And anybody that thinks that a church ought to allow that to happen are idiots. You are fools. You are devil-possessed yourself. Or close to it. Attending the festival made me wonder what kinds of things the current generation of evangelicals may be more tolerant of in, say, 20 years. In other words, here's this British writer saying, man, what's going to happen in 20 years? What are they going to be tolerant of? What are they going to allow in their churches? Also, there was a vocal contingent of progressive evangelicals, including a transgender teen who claims to have both come to Christ and come out as trans at this festival. Oh, how sweet. A little Baalite priest decided that he's going to come out and be the opposite of what God made him. I also found many who have left the faith. You know how people describe home? I never felt that until going here, declared Landon, a 17-year-old transgender teen. If a transgender teen abusing himself, doing wicked things to his body, perverting, cross-dressing himself, if that boy, or whatever it is, can find acceptance and love and feel like he's at home, something's wrong, folks. He is at home. You know why he can feel like he's at home? He is at home. He is at home at the worship of Baal. He is at home at a coliseum dedicated to the worship of Baal. He is at home! Southern Baptist Church, and that, well, the Lord says, you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Her church in Indiana hosts punk shows in its basement. That's the most rebellious, sodomite, wicked music. Chris Lane performs with hardcore band Head Rush at an impromptu stage. Lane left his evangelical faith in 2012, but continues to see the Christian hardcore scene as his family. It is your family. I know that scene well. It's a wicked, compromised, rebellious, perverted scene. And whatever flavor you want to call it. If metal's not your thing, Satan has a flavor that you'll like. With drums and transgender and cross-dressing and rebellion and fornication and adultery and the whole scene. Here's the Gospel Herald. Last year. Trey Pearson, the openly gay lead singer of a CCM band, Everyday Sunday. I've never heard of them, but obviously many have. They come out. He came out as gay, claiming there is absolutely no conflict with accepting who I am and following Jesus. Really? Maybe not the Baal Jesus, but following the Jesus of the Bible, there's a big conflict. Despite having two young children, in the beginning He made them male and female, didn't He? Isn't that what our Lord said? Despite having two young children with his wife, after discovering he would no longer be performing at the Joshua Fest, the festival, Pearson told Billboard he decided to attend anyway as a spectator. Prior to their performance, Five Iron Frenzy, whose drummer is atheist, asked Pearson if he would perform with them. They checked with the owners first, and we all decided, it's not me doing my own set. It's still a way that I can go up there and be a part of the festival. All these guys from the other bands, too, standing with me in love. See, the festival organizers, it's not that they were against this homosexual. The crew that was setting up the festival says, we quit. We're done. If you're going to allow him to play, then you're going to have to go get somebody else to set up all this equipment. And all these Christian roadies, they said, bye, we're done. So the festival owner said, okay, stop. We won't allow him to have his own set of music. But they were fine with this atheist so-called Christian band allowing him to come up and play and sing and everybody have a nice love fest. That's Baal worship, folks. That is not the worship of the Lord God of the Bible. This is Baal worship! After years of cross-dressing, immodesty, and covenant-breaking, and adultery being swept under the rug, these Christian singers getting popular, selling millions of records, and then all of a sudden you hear they leave their husband. And the Christian community says, well, oh well, we still accept you. Well, the devil says, wow, that worked really good. They accept cross-dressing. They accept divorce and adultery. These Christians will accept sodomy and perversion also. Once the camel gets his head under the tent, folks, he's all the way in. Religion News of 2016 says his mentor and friend, Rob Baal, helped him process. What in the world does that mean, process? Rob Baal wrote a book saying there is no hell. There is no hell. I bet he did help him process. Person's Shift places him in the center of a growing movement of popular Christian musicians who are coming out as gay and are advocating for a more open and accepting posture in the church. Ray Bolts, whose songs were staples in evangelical churches throughout the 90s, came out as gay in 2004. Grammy-nominated Anthony Williams became the first openly gay gospel artist in 2009. Jennifer Knapp, another Grammy-nominated Christian artist, acknowledged that she was a lesbian 1 year later. In 2014, popular worship music artist Vicky Beeching told The Independent that she too was a lesbian. In many ways, their music was already transgender. Why don't you just come out and admit what you are? They either became that because of the influence of the music, the spirit that's on it. What does muse mean other than spirit? What spirit is it of? Does it make you want to be holy? Does it make you want to stay with your spouse? Does it make you want to fulfill your commitments? Does it make you want to be dedicated to God? Does it make you want to sacrifice for God your own self-will and lay it on the altar? What kind of music are you listening to? Is it music that says party? Do your own thing. There were some comments because a lot of people got angry at some of these news articles. And they basically said, this is insane. You people have lost your mind and become devil-possessed. You're following Satan. Well, then you had people say, like here's one quote, it appears that you worship the Scripture, but you understand little about the love of Jesus. That could be considered idolatry. Your condemnation will draw few to our loving Lord. Who are you drawing to the Lord? You're embracing sodomite. What in the world are you doing? So what they say is, well, you worship the Bible. That's idolatry. Another one says, you are the bride of Christ, just as much as I am. It's a shame that that fact makes you uncomfortable. God is referenced as male and female throughout the Bible. He made them male and female in His image, both of them. What a pervert. The local church is the bride of Christ, folks. You understand that? The wife of Christ. And Paul tells the local church, you better be chaste when the Lord comes. You better be chaste. You're not individually the bride of Christ. What perverts these people are. And in the beginning when it says God made them male and female, He made them male and female. He made Adam one way and Eve the other way, and they complement one another. The lead singers of the 90s Christian band Jars of Clay caused a small uproar on Twitter in 2014 when he came out in support of gay marriage. David Cloud of his Way of Life website, we have quite a few disagreements, but we agree about this. He writes, in The Gospel Sound, which first appeared in 1971, Anthony Helbutt said, the gospel church has long been a refuge for gays and lesbians, some of whom grew up to be among the greatest singers and musicians. Douglas Harrison, a homosexual who grew up Southern Baptist, says, you can't swing a dove award without hitting upon evidence of the long-standing, deep-set presence of queer experience in and its influence on Christian music culture at all levels. In 1998, CCM star Kirk Franklin said that homosexuality is a problem today in gospel music, a major concern, and everybody knows it. James Cleveland, who has been called the king of gospel music, was a homosexual who died of AIDS. Marcia Stevens broke her sacred marriage vows and divorced her husband of 7 years, with whom she had 2 children, because she had fallen in love with a woman. Other homosexual CCM artists are Anthony Williams, Kirk Talley, Clay Aiken, Doug Pinnock of King's X, Amy Ray and Emily Saliers of Indigo Girls, Jennifer Knapp and Ty Herndon. The Gospel Herald says former gospel singer Katy Perry, I'm not a Christian. She's not even a Christian. She rebelled against her parents and basically became a pop singer, selling her soul and body and prostituting herself before everybody's eyes. And now she says, I'm not even a Christian. Well, in one sense, you got that right. You're not a Christian because Christians follow the Lord. That's what the word means. It means the world ought to be able to look at you and know you're a Christian. Pop singer Katy Perry caused an uproar of controversy at Sunday night's Grammy Award when the singer performed a satanic-themed rendition of her number one single. Perry has even turned from the conservative ways of her parents and has become an activist for sodomite rights. 3 secular albums, 9 number one singles, and a divorce later, Perry claims that she's not even a Christian and no longer believes in God, but rather in a higher power. I believe in a lot of astrology. I believe in aliens. Welcome to the Baal worship with a form of godliness. And every little rebellious Christian young woman that decides that finally now I'm going to go out and do my own thing and find out. I've been kept from the world as I was growing up. And now I want to be like Dinah and go out and see the daughters of the land. Oh, look on their Facebook. They love Katy Perry, you know. Here she is, this wicked witch of a person. And they want to follow her, see. They want to follow her. A large Colorado congregation just became LGBT inclusive. After nearly 2 years of internal deliberation, the elders of Denver Community Church have announced they will welcome LGBT persons into all levels of membership, ministry, and leadership. Many of these so-called community churches already had preachers that have come out as gay anyway. Sodomites. They've been busted, exposed. Byron Keith was a contemporary Christian artist. He's now Byron Rice with HIV-positive sodomite disease. NPR says gospel secrets come into the light. Anthony Helbert's book, The Fan Who Knew Too Much. When they interview this writer, they said, you write that the story of gospel music is a story of gay and lesbian singers and musicians. You write, I long ago concluded that gospel music was the blues of gay men and lesbians. The writer says the world of gospel music was a world of gays, a world that gays had made and made their own by the 1950s. It is known within the community. It is known, especially in the black church. I quote another sermon's, The Rise of Gospel Blues. It's a book that interviews Tommy Dorsey in his retirement home. He's called the father of gospel blues. And Tommy Dorsey says, oh yeah, Ma Rainey and all these blues singers, we would play and they were lesbians, they were transsexuals, bisexuals. And we would sing our wicked music on Saturday night, and then we would come into the church and sing the same stuff. And many of the black churches ran us out and says, get that junk out of here. But after a while, it started to be accepted. He says, we just did the same stuff we were doing in the whorehouses. So the rise of gospel music was the rise of whorehouse music. So when these people say, yeah, you know, everybody knew it's just a bunch of sodomite. Well, of course it's a bunch of sodomite, because it came from Ma Rainey and all of those sodomites. Just because you put God on it, just because instead of all the other things you're singing about God, how does that make the spirit different? Music is a spirit. It's more than just lyrics, folks. It's more than just lyrics. Christian Post says fans question the use of occult symbols by Christian artists Toby Mack, Lecrae, and Andy Maneo. I don't know who these people are. Skulls, triangle-shaped hand signs, sometimes depicting the all-seeing eye of the Egyptian god Horus, and other symbolic gestures, which many conspiracy theorists interpret as occult imagery, have been showing up in the music videos and artwork of prominent Christian artists such as Toby Mack, Lecrae, and Andy Mineo. You got Carrie Underwood, who professes Christ, coming out in support of sodomite marriage. Let me read you a few Bible verses, and I'm going to have you take a look at yourself right now. Take a look at your family. Take a look at your children. Take a look at the churches and where we're at today. And I'm going to ask you to dedicate yourself to the Lord. I'm going to ask all those that hear this sermon online to stop right now and dedicate yourself to the Lord in fullness. To get out of the middle! They that are in the middle get knocked down by both sides. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And serve Him with all your might. Get out of the middle! If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare themselves for battle? This is a war. This is a war. We will hold on and contend, or we will be overrun and become compromisers. Only a few are going to stand in the last days. Be a part of those that stand. Get rid of the uncertain sound. Decide right now what you're going to be. Decide right now and quit playing games. You're hurting people. Get out of the middle. Decide what you're going to be. Elijah came into all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" See, if you don't know what side you're going to be on, you're halting. You can't run. You can't run the race if you don't know what you're going to be. I know what I am. I know what I profess to be. I'm a Christian. And may God find me to be so. Sold out for Him. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a Bible-believing, separated Baptist. And I don't apologize for it. What are you? Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. If Baal's God, follow him. If homosexuality, abortion, rebellious kids, people losing their lives, losing their marriage, if all of that's of God, but I've seen that rock and roll sewer. I've seen it firsthand, like not many people have. I know what I'm talking about. And for any young teenager, barely been born, 14 years, I've been preaching against rock music way over 14 years. For you to come try to think you know more than I know about it is just ridiculous. Okay? And I wish I didn't know so much about it. I wish I did not. I've seen people just like you. I've seen rebellious people say, "I'm not going to separate. I've got my own way of reaching people." You will not believe how many compromisers I've seen get blown away by Satan, knocked off their feet, and become perverts and lose everything. Their lamp goes out. God never really uses them again for anything. And I've seen a lot dead also. I've seen young teenagers that I baptized, that went out to the lake, got drunk, and ended up hitting something while they're skiing, broke their neck instantly. You don't know whether you have another day. You don't know if you have another week. In Hosea it says, their heart is divided. You're nothing new to me. I've been wrestling with people for many, many years. I've had people sit on these pews and sigh and roll their eyes and yawn and huff and puff and badmouth me when they leave here. And I've had the same people call me years later and apologize and repent. I've had people come back, serve God, and become some of the greatest Christians that you've ever seen, but don't you guarantee you're coming back. And if you come back, it's probably going to be like Jacob came back. You're going to be limping, buddy. You're going to have some scars. God's going to humble you one way or another. And if you don't let the hard knocks of life humble you, He'll humble you in the kingdom age in a place you don't want to be. How about that? James 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Got kids all over America saying, ha, 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 you can't touch me. Folks, the daddy's here to teach you who God is. A daddy's here to drive foolishness from your heart and show you God doesn't play around. And I'm going to be God's instrument to teach you that. You get out from under that. Stick your tongue out. Let me introduce you to my God, who you profess to serve. I don't think you know Him yet. I learned the hard way who He is. Knowing the goodness and severity of God, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And if you don't believe that, you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't know who you thought you were serving. He's loving and merciful, but He loves you so much, He's not going to put up with your junk. Say, well, you're trying to scare me. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Sit down with me sometime. I'll tell you the stories of hundreds of people that didn't believe me. They had to go prove it themselves. And like one preacher said, I have never yet heard one person come back and says, I did everything you said, everything you preached, and it cursed me. Never heard it. I'd like to hear you say it. I'm not God, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to preach to you the Word of God in these last days. And part of that Word of God says, Ephesians 5, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Get rid of your stinking CD. Get rid of that junk you're watching. And if you can't handle it, get rid of whatever instrument is causing you to make provision for the flesh. Throw it away! One last final verse, we close. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, but having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What that means is they fear the Lord. They talk about God. They're like that adulterous woman who says, I paid my vows today, as she's breaking her vows. I'm going to call you right now to dedicate yourself to God. I'm going to call you right now to renew your faith. I'm going to call you right now to touch not the unclean thing, to get out of the way of the middle. I'm going to call you right now to stop all of this foolishness and decide right now whether you're going to serve the Jesus of the Bible or whether you're going to serve Baal. Maybe the Spirit hasn't totally taken over yet in your life, but you need to know what bus you're on and what the devil has for you. Dear Holy God, I call. Please use me, God. Use the teaching, the preaching, the exhortation to call many today, right now, to get out of the middle, Father. To not be lukewarm and spewed out of your mouth. To not be ashamed of being a fired up, dedicated, zealous, separated Christian. Not be ashamed of your words. Please move upon many right now with your Spirit to let them know right now you're speaking to them, Father. And it's not an accident that they heard this sermon. As Job was able to say that only his ears had heard of Thee, but now his eyes see Thee in a better way and he abhors himself, God. Let us abhor what we are, God, as we see You in a clearer light. See Your holiness. See Your terror. Your love. Your purity. And may we truly, as Peter fell down at the Lord's feet and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. May we renew our faith and realize that we haven't been separated enough holy enough, dedicated enough. Renew some people right now today, Lord. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You, God, that You came. Died on a cross for us that we might be saved in all eternity. As your heads are bowed, talking to everybody, but especially you young people. If you want to dedicate yourself more fully to Jesus today, I want you to raise your hand and let me know that you're going to make some changes. That you're going to do everything you can by the Lord's strength and power to get out of the middle. I want you to let me know today. I want you to raise your hand and let me know. Anybody? Anybody else? Heads down. Lord, I thank You for the young folks that raised their hand, God. Father, some will not be plowed by the preaching. They're going to have to be dealt with in other ways, God. Father, go easy with them. But do what's necessary, God. May You bring them fully to You, Lord. And we'll give You the glory. Bless these people that have pledged. Strengthen them. Renew them. And may they rejoice in Your presence like never before. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.